All right, brethren, let's turn in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And we'll pick up here in verse 27. The Lord says, Paul says, only let your conversation, and that word is citizenship, your whole conduct as a citizen, let it be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given, in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me. They saw Paul beaten and thrown in prison when he was at Philippi. And now you hear to be in me, now that he's in prison at Rome. Now, with this passage, the Lord is giving Paul the words to really get to the purpose of this letter and the heart of this letter. Throughout this epistle, Paul speaks a great deal about being of one mind, brethren, being of one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and there's a reason. Paul had been informed that two women in the church at Philippi were not of the same mind. Now, we don't know whether they were at variance with each other or whether they were at variance with other members of the church. But these were Paul's sisters in Christ, and he knew them, he loved them. They had helped him as he was there ministering, preaching the gospel. But Paul was given wisdom from the Lord, true judgment, true spiritual discernment in the way that he dealt with this. It doesn't appear Paul knew the details or even sought to find them out. We know with the church at Corinth, Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. But Paul didn't have to know because Christ knew. And Paul is being given the words to write by the Spirit of God. These are the inspired Word of God. And so this is Christ giving Paul the words to write to meet the need of these sisters that the Lord knew. He knew what their need was. That was for their benefit. It was for the benefit of the rest of the brethren at Philippi. It's for our benefit. The Lord's preachers today are not inspired by the Spirit of God like Paul was, but the Lord lays passages on your heart, or as you're going through the scriptures verse by verse, he gives you messages to preach, and you don't know why, you just preach them. But the Lord knows, and the Lord blesses the word to the hearts of his people to meet the need of his people. Now turn with me over to chapter 3, and I want to show you this. Where he mentions their name, but I want to show you a little bit leading up to where he mentions their name. And everything he's writing here, Christ is teaching us to trust that he's able to save, that he's able to subdue, he's able to make his people stand. Paul had said that he wanted to be conformed to Christ's death. And he said, I haven't attained. I'm not perfect, he said. But verse 13, Philippians 3:13, he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but This one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, all those former things he put his confidence in. He said, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ. He said, I'm running the race looking to Christ. I'm looking for him to appear. I'm looking for that high calling to call me home to glory. And he says in verse 15, let us therefore as many as be perfect, that word is mature, let us be thus minded. There's a lot in this epistle about being one mind. Let us be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, now here's an important word, God shall reveal even this unto you. That's what Paul had confidence in. If there was anything that the brethren didn't know or needed to be taught, he trusted Christ would reveal it to them. He'd teach them. Verse 16, nevertheless, whereto we've already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Let us each walk by the same rule of faith in Christ, trusting Christ is able to make us stand. Let us be of the same mind to run the race, looking to Christ above. Look down at verse 20. For our conversation, that's the same word, citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Now here's where he mentions these two ladies. I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow. This was somebody else. Maybe it was Epaphroditus, somebody else that had served with Paul. He said, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. Paul entreated them and he asked this person, you help them, help them. Point them to Christ. Speak of Christ to them. Speak of the things that Paul says here. And then look what he says here. With Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Their names are in the book of life, the Lamb's book of life. Now let's read a little further. Rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation, your calm, patient trust in the Lord, let it be known unto all men the Lord is at hand. I've marked that. I'm going to show you something here in our text, but this issue had something to do probably with persecution, because Paul is saying here, he's reminding them that the Lord's at hand. The Lord's near. The Lord's near. He's ruling all things. So let your moderation be known. Don't, and the next word's kind of the same. Be careful, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See that, the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord gave Paul the words here. True wisdom, true discernment. And this is all he did. He entreated them to be of the same mind. That's it. He entreated them to be of the same mind in the Lord, to stand fast in the Lord. And he reminded them they were one in Christ. Their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now that's instructive in how Paul did that. And you know, it's not just Paul himself. It's the Lord giving him the words. And this is how the Lord would have dealt with it if he was on this earth. but he's doing it through his minister, through Paul. Now, the way he began this epistle, you know, before he ever gets to this point, he told them how much he loved them, how much he thanked God for their fellowship from the first day up until now. He informed them that he was confident that the Lord that had begun to work in them would continue it until the end, to the day of the Lord Jesus. He told them he prayed for them that their love might abound more and more in knowledge and true judgment. And then he gets to our text here, and he begins to get to the purpose. He's entreating them to be of one mind in the Lord. And not just them, but the whole church at Philippi. And the way the Lord ministered to them, he's still ministering to us today. Now, first of all, I want you to notice, Paul does not use law as the motive for this entreaty. He doesn't use the law, he uses the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ. And what is the gospel of Christ? What is the gospel of Christ? It's the good news of reconciliation. It's the good news of atonement, at one-ment, of how the Lord Jesus has made us one with God, our Father, his people and God. Christ Jesus is the mediator. He's the God-man mediator. In 1 Timothy 2:5, it says, there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Look over at 2 Corinthians 5:18. 2 Corinthians 5:18. In this passage here, I said to you Thursday night, I had a few things I wanted to point out to you here. In verse 12, 2 Corinthians 5:12, Paul says, we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. He's saying to the Corinthian brethren, we're giving you something here so you can take up for us, so you can speak to those that are glorying in just what they see rather than using spiritual discernment and glorying in heart. He said, whether we be beside ourselves, it's to God, or whether we be sober, it's for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. We're not judging by carnal sense and carnal sight and carnal reason, but we're using spiritual judgment. He said, yea, though we've known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more after the flesh. He's talking about people who are glorying in appearance. And he said, we don't glory in appearance. We don't know men after the flesh now. Therefore, if any be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And that's one of the new things, is the new discernment we have. Now watch. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word, or the gospel of reconciliation. And now then, we're ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Our gospel is the gospel of oneness. It's the gospel of being made one with God in Christ and made one with each other. Paul, in Ephesians 2, he's reminding us how that by our fall in Adam, you and I who were Gentiles, we were aliens and foreigners. We weren't even of Israel, period. But just like all men fallen in Adam, even those in Israel who were God's elect, they were fallen. But he said, verse 11, wherefore remember, you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And here's the sad thing, brethren, is that the Jews who didn't know God were using the law to exalt themselves over the Gentiles who didn't know God. And the Gentiles were using whatever they could glory in appearance to exalt themselves over the Jews. And yet the law declared every one of them, and us included, guilty. Just flat out guilty. And look here, but now, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he's our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in him, in himself, of two, one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile, both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. That's what Christ accomplished. When you read he reconciled the world, God was in Christ reconciling the world. Here's how you determine who the world is. Everybody Christ died for, he reconciled them to God. They have peace with God by what he did. And God's at peace with them. And so here's the result of that, verse 17, and he came and preached peace to you, which were far off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And now, therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens. That's what the word is in our text. Now you're fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. The Hebrew writer said you come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to Jesus Christ, the mediator of the new covenant. We've been reconciled to God, and we've been made citizens of God's holy city. And so the Spirit says, adorn this gospel by being one. That's what he's telling us. Only let your conversation, your whole life from now on, as citizens of heavenly Jerusalem, of God's city, let your whole life be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Now, what's more becoming to the gospel of reconciliation than that God's people be of one mind? What more adorns the gospel than that you're of one mind? To look to Christ and trust Christ and speak of Christ and help one another look to Christ. They have one mind, standing fast with one mind. What better to adorn the gospel of atonement, of being made at one, than that we be of one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel? Not against each other, but together for the gospel, faith of the gospel. God's city and his people is his people, just like the church is his people. The city, when the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven at John saw, that's his people, adorned by everything Christ did for us, his righteousness, his holiness. And that city's compacted together. Listen to this from Psalm 122:3. Jerusalem, and we're not talking about that city over there. We're talking about God's city. We're talking about his people. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. And I can show you that in Ephesians 4. Remember what the Lord said in Ephesians 4? He said this. It's just a page or two back there from Philippians. Ephesians 4:16. He says, from Christ, our head, the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working of Christ in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:17, he that's joined unto the Lord is one spirit. He said in 1 Corinthians 12:13, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink of one Spirit. This is the gospel of oneness. This is a gospel of reconciliation, of being made at one with God and with brethren. Look over at Psalm 133. This is why, this is by the anointing of the Lord, by the Holy Spirit. It was pictured in that oil on Aaron. Look here, Psalm 133:1. Behold, how good and how pleasant. It's becoming the gospel. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. That's how he was anointed to be the priest. And when the Spirit of God's poured out on us and we're regenerated, it's like the oil of the Spirit, like it went from his head all the way down, all over him. And he said, verse 3, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. And that's what he does when he's called you, when he's anointed you, when he's made you one, and made you see that by his blood, by his righteousness, by his holiness, we've been made one with God our Father. And he makes you one with all those that are born of him. And so Paul says, now, as citizens of this holy city, compacted together, he says, adorn this gospel by being of one mind, being steadfast, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now, here's another way that we adorn this gospel. And here, and the Spirit of the Lord says that we adorn the gospel of Christ by not being afraid of our adversaries. He says in verse 28, Philippians 1:28, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, that is, hopeless ruin, but to you it's a token of salvation and that of God. For unto you it's given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. They saw Paul, the reaction of men who hated Christ, who hated God, who they hated Paul when he preached that salvation is entirely of the Lord. They beat Paul, they put him in chains and threw him in the jail at Philippi. They saw that conflict happen, that agony that he went through. And now they heard about him bearing the same agony at Rome because of men's hatred for the gospel of Christ. But the Holy Spirit declares here through Paul, he says, unto you it's given in the behalf of Christ for his sake, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. The same way, brethren, that faith is a gift of God, and God gave you faith to believe Christ, it's also given to us to suffer for the sake of Christ. And not only is it given to us that we shall suffer for the sake of Christ, he gives you the power, the strength to bear up when you are persecuted for preaching the gospel of Christ. Both. It's given on the behalf of Christ. Our master told us this in John 15:18. John 15:18. Our Lord warned us. He just told us plainly this was going to happen. John 15:18. We haven't faced much of this in our life. You know, we live in a free country, but we very well could face more of this. And according to the scriptures, I think we will. It may not be in our lifetime, but it could be. But John 15:18. The Lord said, but you do experience this to some degree. He said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they've kept my sin, they'll keep yours also. Let's look now at Acts 5. I want you to see this, Acts 5. This was on one occasion when Peter and the other apostles had preached, and the high priest for the Pharisees and then the Sadducees, they didn't like each other. The Pharisees and Sadducees didn't like each other. But they came together in their hatred for the apostles because they hated Christ. But look here now. They beat them. They threw them in prison. But the angel of the Lord came and opened the prison and told them to go preach. And so the officers came back and told the high priest and the council that those men y'all put in prison, they're standing in the temple preaching the gospel. Now they've been beaten. They've been thrown in prison and commanded not to preach. This is by the highest authority in the city. Acts 5:28. They brought them again, and they brought them before the council. That's just what Christ said they would do. And they brought them before the council. And they said, "Did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." Look at verse 40. Gamaliel told them, I'm being brief because of time's sake, but Gamaliel told them, he said, "Fellows, leave these men alone." He said, "If this is of God, you're fighting against God." That's what Gamaliel told them. And it says, verse 40, they agreed, and when they had beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. How could Peter and these other apostles have such boldness? Paul said, back in Philippians 1 verse 19, he said it's by the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He said whether it's by life or death, Christ to be magnified in my body by the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And that same Spirit of our Lord that gives you faith to believe and strength and preserves you to keep believing is the power, Christ, the power of God, that supplies you with the strength when you need it to bear up under what they bore up under and keep preaching the gospel. Paul said, it's not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. They didn't have the strength in themselves. He said, but our sufficiency is of God. That's who gave us the strength. Verse 28, Philippians 1:28, he says, which is to them, to the adversaries, an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. That high priest and the council proved by their rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ, rejection of the gospel, that they were lost and ruined sons of perdition. That's what they proved. But God's grace strengthening Peter and the apostle was a token of their salvation, that they'd been saved and it was of God. That's what it was a token of. Brethren, the same as our Lord Jesus saved us from the wrath of God and reconciled us to God, he will save us from the wrath of men. It says in Romans 5:10, if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, he had said we rejoice in tribulation. And not only so, we not only rejoice in tribulation, we not only rejoice that we're counted worthy to suffer shame for Christ's sake, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we've now received the atonement, been made one. I want to show you another scripture, Luke 21. Now, this is what our Lord said would happen. And we see that it happened to the apostles. But brethren, before the last sheep is called, this will probably happen again in this world. Luke 21:12, Christ said, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. It'll be an evident witness, an evident token of your salvation, and that being of God. That's what he's saying. Settle it, therefore, in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom. We said this strength came from the Lord. That's what he's saying. I'll give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And you shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not a hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. That's what Paul said to those two sisters in Philippians 4. In your patience possess your souls. Let your moderation, let your patience be known. Your calm be known. Your trust in the Lord. Let it be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. He's with you. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7. He said this. He said, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Brethren, if you really, when he really gives you the unction and the strength and the discernment to know, you have eternal life. You're immortal. That's what will give us boldness to speak the gospel when it gets as bad as it got for them. Paul said, I'm appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, and for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. That's what he said to the in the Roman epistle, in Romans 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution? Shall famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it's written, for Christ's sake we're killed all the day long, we're counted as sheep for the slaughter? No. He said, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus that loved us. So Peter said this. He said in 1 Peter 4:12, he said, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Somebody, you know, when I read those things, I think, I couldn't bear up under that. Well, when you need it, the Lord give you strength. He will. He gives you grace for every hour. You need dying grace, give you dying grace. And you need persecuting grace, he'll give you persecuting grace, he'll give you grace to bear it. And it's an evident token that you're saved by the Lord, by him. Nothing's going to stop his people from being of one mind, preaching Christ, trusting Christ, believing Christ, because it's the Lord working it. It's the Lord working it. We may get like the two ladies there, but the Lord Jesus will do just what he's doing through Paul right here. He'll send the gospel, and he'll bring them back together. That's what he'll do for his people. Trust him. Trust him. Let's go to him. Our great God and our Father, we're thankful, Lord, that you're holy. We're thankful, Lord, that you're so holy that you sent your Son to make us one with you, to reconcile us. We're thankful you're holy so that you'll do what's just and right, so that you will never condemn one for whom Christ died. We thank you, Lord, that you're holy to send us your gospel, reveal Christ in our hearts, create us anew, preserve us, keep us. Lord, we're thankful that you're working everything in this world exactly according to your purpose. We're thankful, Lord, that you've saved a sinner like us. Showed us exceedingly great mercy in what you've done for us. Lord, we pray that you would, by the same holiness and the same power, we pray, Lord, you would keep each of our brethren, that you'd hedge them about, that you'd protect them, that you'd guard their steps, that you'd bring them under the sound of the gospel. And Lord, that you would make all of your people one, united, one heart, one mind. And Lord, make us stand together when any adversary, especially our adversary, the devil, tries to destroy this city. We pray, Lord, you would keep us compacted together, and that you'd continue to draw your people. Fill us with your Spirit. Give us faith to see that we need this gospel. We need it more than we need our daily bread. We need each other because we need Christ and because we need this gospel. Make us, Lord, willing to just lay down at your feet and trust you. You're able to subdue all things to yourself. Give us faith, Lord, to believe you. Lord, forgive us for being so full of unbelief and doubt and murmuring and sin and just, Lord, there's nothing about us that's worthy of a salvation so great. We're thankful, Lord, you didn't look to us for worthiness. We're thankful that you did it for your own name's sake, for the glory of your Son. And we ask you for his name, for your glory. We pray, Lord, that you would hear our prayer. Make us adorn the gospel by being of one mind and nothing terrified by our adversaries. We pray it, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen.